Hi, welcome to the show. How about you introduce yourself?
My name is Eric Harding. I am the creator of StarCat Games and Legacy TCG.
Okay, and what's StarCat Games about?
StarCat Games is a company that I started. Unofficially, I've been doing it for quite a while. But basically what it is I have this team that I've put together for Legacy, and my game, I thought it looks awesome, but I noticed that I would also like to help other people make their games look as awesome. And so I've been kind of taking jobs for people. Like, people have come to me and said, "Oh, your game looks so good. Do you have any artists that I could use, or do you have a 3D modeler or programmer or whatever?" And so I figured, I might as well just make a whole business out of this, and it's been working so far.
And what game were they checking out? Because you mentioned there's a second thing that you're also working on. So is that the game that you're referring to, or?
Yes, it's called Legacy TCG.
Okay.
It's a little bit of an interesting, the TCG stands for the card game, not trading card game, as most people think.
Sure.
It actually was a trading card game, but I changed the format of it when people, as I did a little more research, I found out that people didn't really like trading card games because of the whole, the gambling. When you buy a pack, oh, I hope I get something good, So I got rid of all that.
And this card game, is it going to be digital or is it going to be physical?
Currently, it is in a physical form. When I actually first started the ambitious project, I wanted it to be digital because at the time I was completely unaware of print-on-demand services. And so with that, once I learned about that, I was like, "Oh, well, I can make this physical now." So I basically just made the physical card game, and it's about 99% done right now. And after that, hopefully, if everything goes well, we'll kickstart it and get a digital version going.
And why go with physical first versus digital? Because I've seen some of these mobile games where they're digital card games and they're doing amazingly well.
Right. It's more a question of, I just didn't have any money. When I made Legacy, I did not have any money. Like, my budget was $0.
And wouldn't it be, oh, and so it was easier to make a physical one versus a digital one.
Both were equally impossible, but it was harder to make a digital card game with only two programmers. I mean, it's impossible. It's an impossible task to for most people to get tons of artists, voice actors, music, sound, programming, 3D modeling, all that stuff with a budget of zero. So
And
that's
well, that'll be good for the audience out there. I mean, how did you go from zero to actually producing something? What do you feel made
that's
that
a long
happen?
journey. That's a long journey. Well, honestly, it's just perseverance. To kind of give you a little bit of a backstory, I have a sleeping disorder, and because I have a sleeping disorder, it prevents me from getting a normal job. And so I knew I had to kind of do something different than most people. So I started making money playing video games. I made a bunch of money playing EverQuest back in the day. I think I made something like $100,000 in a year just selling items. And, so I knew that I could do things like that that I guess the average Joe couldn't do. So it's more a I really didn't have a choice because otherwise I had no income,
Did you have to, did you do any programming? Or, I mean, since it's a physical game, you didn't have to do any programming then, or?
Correct.
Okay. And did you work with someone else then while you were doing it, or did you do it alone?
Which one, the physical or the digital?
Well, not the digital, the physical card game.
Oh yeah, I worked with lots of people. Like, I'm not sure what you mean.
Oh, well, I was wondering if it was something where you just worked on it by yourself and just had other people test it out, or if you actually kind of had a partner or something like that, and you're just developing it with them and you're kind of persevering in that regard.
No, it was I created the game when I was around 15. I it actually was a sorry if my answers are a bit long-winded, but
Sure. No,
I
that's
just like to
good.
be thorough.
I need a
I
lot of content for the show, so keep
Okay,
going.
that's fine. Well, around the time, I think it was either just as or just before Magic came out, I had already kind of made this game, but it was more of a Dungeons and Dragons tabletop type of thing. And so, it's kind of, I just thought it was a little, I thought Dungeons and Dragons was a little too simple, And so I thought, oh, I could make a better game than that, you know, and, you know, I'm an arrogant little 15-year-old kid. And so I started, you know, making all these crazy lands and things like that. And so, you know, for the viewers who, or the listeners who aren't savvy on the whole pre-internet thing, before the internet was the internet, there was BBSs and things like that, which is a series of computers that it's just, you know, you call a person's computer with a really loud modem and, you know, you connect to people local to that computer only. And so that's how I tested the first version of – it didn't even have a name back then. It was just the game, you know. And because I had a sleeping disorder, I had all these different groups from, like, China and, you know, all over the place, and, you know, Pakistan, and, I mean, it's crazy. They all connected to this guy's thing, and they just played my game. And as the game grew, you know, the world grew and things like that, and that's kind of how I got the content for current Legacy.
And what – because – in between that time and then now, you were doing stuff on EverQuest and other games and whatever else. What decided or what inspired you to go back to that? Because it seems like you put it down for a little bit and then came back to it.
I did put it down for a little bit. During the EverQuest times, I was like, that was pretty much my focus. I actually stopped going to school because it was interfering with making money. And after EverQuest kind of crashed and nobody played it anymore, I was like, oh, man, I need something else to do. Yeah. So I had these piles of books, and, you know, I still have them, but, you know, these piles of books from when I was, like, 15 and 16 of all these crazy worlds and classes and, you know, the structures of the different types of magic system and all that stuff. And, you know, I was like, huh, I should do something with this. So after looking at it for a while, my original goal was to publish a book like TSR, you know, like a system, like Dungeons & Dragons system, right?
What's TSR for the audience? Okay.
TSR is the old kind of Dungeons & Dragons company. It's I think they're actually their license is up right now, so a lot of people are kind of clamoring to clamoring to get some of those. But it's basically just an old you know, company that made Dungeons & Dragons, things like that. I think Wizards of the Coast owns those guys now. But anyway, I forgot what I was saying.
Well, I mean, you were saying that after EverQuest crashed.
Oh, yeah. I put it down for a while. Basically, after EverQuest, I kind of needed something to go back to just to fill my time. And like I said, the original goal was to make a book. And so after about it, 2 or 3 months of looking at this and really analyzing it, I found out what makes the game awesome is me or the person telling the story. There's no system that can replace that, you know? So I thought for a while, I was like, you know, I can't just let this sit here. I've got to get a return on my time somehow. I've got to turn this into something. So it took about a year, and then I figured I'll make this a card game. And then I had the idea of turning it into a card game, and it took a good 2 years to figure out how I was going to do that.
And during that time, did you think about maybe moving on to other MMOs or even MMOs in Asia where people could trade a bunch of items, like, you know, similar to EverQuest, and make the same, you know, the thing of trading items online and making money off of that? Or were you focused that, would you just decide, you know what, I'm just going to move away from that kind of stuff and go into this digital card or into this physical card game?
Well, the whilst I was working on Legacy, the current card game version, I think World of Warcraft had come out, and you know, I'm not sure of my timelines because it's been so long, but I do remember working on Legacy for a long time and doing World of Warcraft. When World of Warcraft came out, I made a ton of money just selling and trading items. And then I got smarter about it, too. I just became a better businessman. Instead of me having to bust my butt all day long farming gold from sunup to sundown, I started, you know, outsourcing that. You know, I found people who were really good at playing the auction house, and I said, hey, man, I'll buy all your gold for, like, $1.50 or $2 a thousand, and then I started selling it for $7 or $8 a thousand, you know. And so I just basically middlemaned and just grew my business that way. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it taught me a lot, but the whole time I was working on Legacy.
And Why not keep doing that? Because World of Warcraft seems to it's still going pretty strong, it seems. And it's declining a little, but what decided or do you keep still or do you still keep doing that?
I did do it from time to time. It's nowhere near as they manipulate the numbers a little bit with WoW. Most of the people who still play WoW are actually bots. That they're not even real people. So it's you know it's WoW is pretty much dead. But that economy from WoW has long since dead because it's just so easy to make money now. Yeah. Nobody needs that service.
What's taken its place, or is there anything that's taken its place now? I mean, is there EVE Online or something?
No, currently there isn't any kind of people have been waiting for the WoW killer for a long time and it never came. Here's the thing with any integrated system such as Magic, WoW, whatever, any system that's been around and it was kind of the first of its kind, you're always going to have that footprint. That's that you know you it's going to be difficult to fill those shoes. Yeah. In the case of World of Warcraft, it's like a cell phone. Everybody has it. It's like it's or at least they did, you know. Yeah. And it did a lot of things that were never really done before. Like for example, you could go to work and your boss that you hated all of a sudden was talking to you about his torn warrior and you know he was like, oh man, I killed this dragon last night. It was so awesome. And all of a sudden, you know, you're talking to people you've never even met before about the same stuff and you have this camaraderie kind of thing. And that has never done before on such a massive scale. And people kind of got addicted to that, you know. And so as the game just got worse and worse and worse, people stopped playing it. And now it's kind of they're waiting for something.
Or maybe it's Call of Duty now. Or GTA 5. I mean, I think I've seen people play that quite a bit, right? Like, so maybe they've Call of Duty seems to be very strong. GTA 5, you know, these are more casual multiplayer games. Or right. Actually, GTA 5. I don't know if it's multiplayer yet, but they have that. So maybe that's where everyone went.
A lot of them are still playing. Here's the thing. When people play, like I said, people have invested so much time in World of Warcraft. Blizzard, I have two thoughts on this. The first is that Blizzard keeps screwing its its customers because they haven't learned the lesson that their customers hate change. They've invested years into these characters, and every expansion they're like, hey, remember that that warlock that you like so much? Yeah, it's not a warlock anymore. It's something entirely different. And they haven't seemed to learn that lesson that their customers hate that, you know, or they're just trying really hard to piss their customers off. Yeah. And it that's what it seems, you know. The other thing is that when they have tried to go to another game, there's a huge grind fest or there's a huge whatever the other thing is. It feels like WoW because people try to make their games look like WoW. And so the mindset is, I could just be playing WoW. Why do I have to start this whole new thing? None of my friends are here. Yeah. I don't know anybody here. So I might as well just go back to WoW, where at least I'm doing the same thing, but I know everybody.
Yeah. And it might also honestly be just these casual cooperative games are taking over, too.
Don't even get me started on casual games.
Well, I mean, isn't Call of Duty like a casual game?
No,
for casual. Look, it's like a casual hardcore game. It's like a same multiplayer game, but it's the theme is much more casual. Like you know,
casual
the theme is.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the theme is just much more accessible to a lot more people. It's like, oh, you know, Call of Duty. Well, you know, that's war. That's cool. That's awesome.
That's right? Not really what a casual game is, though. A casual game is something like Doodle Jump.
Yeah. I'm trying to draw a parallel between. Oh, casual MMO, like so. You're right. There's like the real casual games, and then there's like, well, what happened to WoW, right? Like, because WoW was pretty huge, and you're saying it's died off, and these people must have gone somewhere, right? I mean, usually what I've noticed is that. World. Wait, what'd you say?
I said a lot of them just returned to the real world. They're like,
Once they
let loose, or once they kind of like got away from WoW, they either went to like League of Legends or just.
Yeah, you're right. There's League of Legends. There's, I mean, what about GTA?
And, these things,
like, I don't know if you read about it, but even recently, they're like, oh, made $1 billion in a week, right? Or yeah. $1 billion in a day. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Right. So, well, I mean, it's to be expected because it's GTA. It's the same reason that Diablo 3 made so much money because of Diablo 2, and Diablo 2 made so much money because of Diablo 1. It's going to happen again. Right.
It's a franchise.
Except for, you know.
They have the right theme. What I'm saying is they also have the right theme. That theme, whether it's Call of Duty or GTA, it may be more accessible than World of Warcraft. You know, sometimes it's literally they take the same game. I mean, and it's not the same game, but it takes very similar mechanics. They just apply the right theme and boom, you know.
Exactly. No, you're right.
But so you have that really deep understanding of these MMOs. What inspired you to do a card game? And did you think about doing an MMO maybe?
I would love to freaking do an MMO. If I could choose, I would do a mech-based MMO because there's a lot more options available. I would still do kind of a fantasy MMO, but I would probably do it in a way that would just blow people's minds, you know, because here's the thing. I think what I've noticed is people who are in charge, people who are project managers or people who are the people who are in charge of the game development of whatever MMO, they don't seem to have a grasp of what it is the customer wants. What makes a customer go, wow, I need to be playing this? They don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
They used to, but now it's like they just copy other stuff.
Well, also, you know, they may have had it before, but look, tastes change. I mean, seriously, like, you know, some people just move away from certain games to get more sophisticated. And what worked before doesn't work now. And maybe the new producers just aren't prepared for what's going to work now. Or maybe they're just
I don't know how much truth there is to that because
I'm just guessing. Yeah, go
ahead. A masterpiece will be played 20, 30 years after. People still play Final Fantasy II. People still play Final Fantasy VII, Kid Icarus, Metroid. They still play these games. Why do they still play those games? Those games suck. I mean, for, you know, compared as far as like graphically or you know what I mean? You know, like for example, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know the Super Mario Brothers theme song.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a freaking.
But it could be nostalgia too, right? I mean, it's like the oldies. Like, you know how people would listen to the oldies, 60s, 70s music,
right?
Because it reminds them of when they were younger. And now, you know, it might just be the new generation. You know, not only listens to whatever 80s and 90s, but they're playing the music or not the games from that era too.
Right, but they have nothing to be nostalgic about because they weren't there. So why would the new generation play those games?
Okay, I thought you were talking about the older generation.
No, I'm talking any generation. A masterpiece is just that. It's a masterpiece. It's a timeless thing that any generation could pick up.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Tetris.
Tetris, exactly.
Tetris could be played in the 1900s.
Or even Bejeweled.
Right. you know, any of those games, they can be played any time. They're timeless. And so, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics, there's I don't know if you've played that, but that's an amazing game. And, you know, it came out in, like, I don't know, 1999, 2001, something like that. It's an amazing game. You can pick up that game now, and the addiction level would just be through the roof. I mean, way over something like, you know, compare it to, like, Angry Birds or whatever. People, you know.
But, you know, more people have played Angry Birds, right?
God, I know. See, here's the thing. Angry Birds is all hype. There is nothing unique about Angry Birds at all. It's a basic physics engine with bird skins.
No, it's only you perceive it that way, but obviously the fact that it has birds resonated with the audience. That's what I'm talking about, the theme. Literally, you're right. There were other games kind of similar, right? But those are cute birds.
Right.
And hey, you know that, look, it's just like Farmville. A lot of people they have the same type of MMO as like a restaurant. They had a restaurant MMO, they had a farm MMO, they had like whatever other types of similar MMOs, same spreadsheet algorithms, it was just the right theme.
Right. I will agree 50% on that. I think, yes, it's the right theme for some people. Yeah.
And the right platform too.
Right. Well, I mean, definitely that for the right platform. But the other thing that I was going to say is that a lot of it is a massive hype factor. People who've never, ever played games like that before, oh man, I got to jump on this Angry Birds bandwagon because everybody's playing it. My sister barely plays any games, and she comes over talking about, hey, have you played Angry Birds? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, that's a testimonial to their marketing, right?
Oh, like, no, I mean, their marketing, whew, those guys are ninjas.
Yeah.
You know? That's... That is definitely supreme marketing. High five to those guys.
So what, you know, So we've kind of established that marketing and some of these other things are going to make a good game finally stand out. What strategy are you going to use for your card game? And where does it stand now? Because I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of experience with games and what you feel works and what doesn't work. What's the next step?
I don't want to say I have a lot of experience with games because if you're talking about playing games, yes, I definitely have extensive experience playing games from, you know, from when I was could walk basically. My dad always took me to like this thing he called the computer club, which really was just a hacker's den. But, you know, I've been taking machines apart and putting them together since before I even knew what they were. And so, you know, I've been playing games since that. So yes, I've anything that I could get my hands on, regardless of the genre. But as far as legacy goes, it's 99% done. It's just a template. Interesting story. I actually had somebody try to steal my game, a former employee, and that derailed me for like a year because I had to get a new template. But anyway, that's a whole different story. But yeah, it's as far as marketing, that there's a lot of things that I can do. I actually have a radio station that's interested in talking to me for one of their podcasts, and that's going to be a large part of it. I know there's I have a few celebrities on the game, and I'm hoping that they will do some kind of reaching out. You know, there's a lot of things that I can do that I don't necessarily want to disclose.
Sure. And you said it's 99% done. What's remaining?
Just the template.
Okay, and by template, what do you mean? The graphic template or?
Basically the way the cards look and everything's laid out.
Okay. And when do you expect that to be done?
I'm hoping tomorrow.
Okay. So do you expect to release this card game like this month or?
No, it's I still have a little bit of hype to do. You know, Facebook. My Facebook's really light right now because I haven't been generating the hype. Twitter, you know, things like that. After I get all the game polished and the rules and everything, I send it out to get printed. I'm going to print around 30 copies, and then I'm going to send 10 or 15 of those to game reviewers, and then I'm going to, you know, that's basically the best I can do. I also want to get a couple of ads going in magazines, things like that.
Are you going to go to conferences or these like Comic-Con or whatever it is?
I would love to. I just don't see it being possible as I just don't have the money for that.
Okay. And what is going to make your card game work? Like, I mean, there are people who are trying to make card games. You know, there's a lot of card games already out there now. How are you going to stand out?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, there is no magic pill for card games. All you can do is, you know, you really just have to be observant. I mean, I have what I think is interesting characters. I think I have an interesting story. I have a general quick speed of gameplay once you learn how to work it out. And then I have a lot of imaginative card abilities. You know, I think that's really the best I can do. When I first started developing Legacy, I was prepared to take on magic. I was like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna slay the giant, right?" And so, people would tell me, "Oh, it can't be done. You don't have any money. They were there first. The magic is the king of card games. It just can't be done." And I was like, "Well, that just makes me want to do it even more." You know, so I've been working on this game for like 16 years. You know, and so now we live in a world where you don't have to slay magic because the truth is, people who play Magic also play Yu-Gi-Oh! Or also play whatever, you know? You don't have to be the best anymore. And, you know, I'm totally content with second or third place. Even if, I mean, that would be amazing, you know,
Yeah.
if my game got noticed at all.
Have you been play testing it with friends, or what's been the response?
Oh, I play test it with anybody. I go to card stores all the time and, you know, and I'll, you know, I'll just test it with whoever I can bribe to test it. I prefer it if they're experienced in card games, but I also test with people who have never played card games before just to see their general interest or if they can follow the rules and things like that.
And what's been the response so far? What's been the feedback? I guess issues that are good, or things that are good and things that need to be changed.
I've changed all the stuff that needs to be changed, so I think mostly it's just slight wording tweaks. Like, I have this card called the Inundation, and essentially it's destroy all characters on the field, and the requirement is that there are four. Now, that my intent when I created the card was not there must be exactly four on the field. It was four or more. But I do like having that, you know, set at four because it makes for interesting gameplay, you know. So it's just things like that.
And so you were thinking about going with Kickstarter then, right? Like for the digital version, or what's your plan with that?
Well, I'm going to go with Kickstarter for the physical and digital version.
Okay.
I actually had a Kickstarter, but I canceled it because I had to make some gaming tweaks, plus the guy trying to steal my game, and just a lot of there was no social media behind it whatsoever. Okay. So it needed to be canceled. But
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I definitely am going to go with Kickstarter for both of them.
Oh, when do you expect to do another Kickstarter then?
I'm hoping within 2 months or so. I'm hoping. You know how that goes.
Yeah. And, okay, so let's go back to your initial company that you're talking about, which was the company where you're also helping other developers find talent for their games.
Right. My kind of dream that I wanted was I wanted to be able to make awesome games like Blizzard used to. And I wanted to also have that company. Like, imagine if you could go to Blizzard and say, hey, I got, 10 G's. Please make my game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
that's kind of what I want. I mean, that would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm wondered, why don't people do that? People are so focused on making their own games. I don't understand why they don't kind of do that. And so I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to say, hey, your game looks awesome. I'd be like, oh, well, you too can have this quality, you know?
Yeah. And so you showed them the card game, or how did you inspire them to want to use your services?
I just made the website and just linked it around, and people were already just flocking to it.
Okay. And what have been the lessons learned, based on people who've tried to use the service or develop their games with your help?
It's a pretty solid model. I'm not going to say it's perfect, but it's only a week old right now. Officially it's only a week old. I've got a lot of people who wanted to join the team. I've got a lot of customers who, their game would never even be possible if I didn't offer this. You know, I have a guy, I'm not going to say prices here, but, the way we do jobs is we take jobs based on budgets. So what happens is the customer will come to me and he'll say, I have this much money. This is what I need done. Can you do this within that budget? And I'll take a look at it and I'll say yes or no.
And what platforms are they usually targeting? I mean, is this for PC or is this for consoles or is this for mobile?
Right now, it's mostly for physical, like card games, board games, stuff like that. We have the capacity to do some PC stuff. I have two ridiculously skilled programmers. I've got 3D modelers, riggers. I got sound and music guys. I got stuff for pretty much whatever the client needs. We're not going to take every job that comes across, but, we like it. One day we want to be able to say, there's no job we can't do, but that's not right now.
Do you feel that this kind of team that you're assembling, they'll be able to help you with your digital game that you want to make for your card game?
They already have been. That's the team I'm using.
And how's that going? Like, have there been any surprises as you work on the digital version?
Oh yeah, I'm not working on that anymore. And that's the digital version has been on hold for a while because it's way too much. You would need like 15 programmers to do what I'm trying to do, and I had two. So,
what's the most difficult part? I mean, is it the 3D graphics or is it something else entirely?
Well, I mean, first it was hell on my 3D modeler because I only had one, So for him trying to do like Final Fantasy looking summons type stuff, for a myriad of cards, it's just not it's not feasible to do for one human being to do, and still go to work and have a life, But it's mostly the variables, because you can't play this card if this is on the field, but what happens if this goes away? You know what I mean? There's so many variables. It's near impossible with two people.
And where do you see, I mean, I guess what types of games do you play now?
Man, I like Metroidvania type games. I like games where you just backtrack and get all these cool items. I like I'm not typically a fan of first-person shooters, but I do like for example, Doom 3 did a really good job of turning it into more of a story. I like that kind of stuff. I like puzzle games. I'm not talking about like Tetris. I mean, I'm talking about like games that make you use your mind and think outside the box. There's actually a French game called, I think it's Overture. I think it's Facile, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a browser-based game, and it's just like it's intense. It's intense.
And what, I guess, what's next in store for your mini studio, where you're helping other developers and for your card game?
Well, what's next for the studio itself is basically I'm always working on other things. I've got a couple different iPad games in the work. I've got a game that's more of a it's kind of a choose your own adventure. It's basically 24 hours in the life of a character, and you can make pretty much every decision for that 24 hours. You know, whether he showers or not, whether he goes to work or not, things like that. So that's a lot of interesting stuff there. As far as legacy goes, it's just a matter of getting this template done. You know, like I said, legacy is going to be an ongoing project for quite a while.
Sure. And what about these iPad games? Are they going to be like what genre are they going to be in?
The first one I'm working on is a game called The Arena, and it's kind of a it's like an action. I kind of want to call it an RPG, but I'm not really sure. It's kind of a mid weird genre. Essentially, imagine if you had it's like if you could play a game of checkers if you and your opponent both had kings and they could both shoot fireballs at each other. That's the kind of movement situation. And so what it is you know, you move, your opponent moves, you move, your opponent moves, but you know, on a grid. And so the obviously that sounds boring by itself, but the characters, it's you know, you have tiers of characters that you fight. Like, for example, there's slaves, there's veterans, then you've got like gods and mythical creatures and things like that. Each one of these tiers has like 12 to 15 different characters in it. Like you can fight Thor and Odin and you know, whatever. And each one of these, when you kill them, you get a choice of taking their armor or their items or their weapons or their items. You can't take all, you can only take one. So there's thousands and thousands of items in this game. And so it's just about building interesting builds and, you know, just kicking butt, really.
And are you going to do any multiplayer iPad games or?
I'm going to probably wait until I get a little more experience with that first. You know, I that's still a little bit further down the road, but yeah, I eventually want to tackle just about everything.
And what, I mean, what's your opinion on mobile games? I mean, do you feel that, I mean, do you play those the most or do you still play on PC or Steam or?
I played on my iPad a long time before it got stolen, but I think that there's nothing wrong with mobile games. I think the types of mobile games that are coming out are more destructive than anything. I think the whole casual thing is pretty much killing the gaming industry.
And why do you say that? Like, why, first of all, why is it destructive? I mean, the new game's coming out, and why is casual killing the games industry? It seems like it's expanding it.
Expanding it for the worse. I mean, you know, diseases spread. That doesn't mean they're good, you know.
Yeah.
It's here's the okay. Did you ever play any of the old games for like DOS, like Police Quest, Space Quest, Indiana Jones, any of those?
No.
Okay. Well, back in the day, you had to really use your brain. Like, there was nobody to help you. There was no walkthrough guides. You had to just literally figure it out. And those days are long gone. And
Yeah.
so now I get really tired of, you know, I'm going to go off on a bit of a rant here, but I see, like, for example, there's this website called Touch Arcade. And it's a great website,
Yeah.
like the people. But every now and then, I'll see a game hasn't even been out for like 2 hours yet, and somebody's already asking for a walkthrough. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, do you want me to just play the game for you? I mean, you know, so it's there's none of that anymore. There's no, everybody wants everything now. They want it faster, and yeah, they essentially want everybody to play the game for them.
And they just watch it, like Twitch TV or something.
Right, and it's like, what is that? That's a new thing. That's not a normal thing. I mean, if you like watching people play games, that's one thing. But when a game comes out, like if Grand Theft Auto hit the stores today, I wouldn't be asking for a walkthrough tomorrow because I'm stuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's
what casual's doing.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, okay, so that's one thing, but it's expanding the market. I mean, the reason why iPad gaming is so lucrative is because there's so many people willing to play and pay. I mean, well, look at the simple casino games that are like in the top 10 or something.
Right. Well, that more has to do with the accessibility. That's just impulse buying. That's just, you know, it takes no effort to buy a game. So it's like, oh, I'll check this out for 5 seconds. That's like when a movie comes out, if people will buy it, and it may be the highest grossing movie ever. That doesn't mean it was the best movie ever. It just means a lot of people wanted to see it.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, okay, Diablo 3, for example. They say it was the fastest selling game of all time. And what they're leaving out, it was also the fastest returned game of all time. Because Diablo 2 sold Diablo 3. Diablo 3 was garbage, and they should be ashamed of themselves for ever releasing that game. I think everybody involved with Diablo 3 should be fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, look, it's pretty intense. I mean, the games industry, unless you've got a huge hit, or and even then, there are no guarantees necessarily. So I mean,
you know, I'm gonna disagree with you on that one, because sure. on with Diablo 3, they knew,
yeah, they took a long time.
here's the thing: it's not even that. It's they released videos of what was in Diablo 3 long before they released it. Like probably a year or two, they said, this is what's in Diablo 3. You can do this thing and this thing and this thing. And they got such amazing feedback. When they released Diablo 3, they got rid of every single one of the things that were highlighted, and they put a real money auction house in the game. They knew that that was doomed to fail because their entire player base told them it was doomed to fail. They said, if you add this, the game will die. And it did, you know? There's things that shouldn't have to be told to you. It should be obvious. Like, if you touch the electric fence, it's going to hurt. I shouldn't have to tell you that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And for your iPad games, when do you expect those to be released?
My team is still, it's not a huge team. It's about 70, 80 people right now. So it's not, I can't work on too many games at once. I don't have any, I have one pixel artist at the moment. So it's impossible for me to work on so many different things at once. I would have to get a bigger team, or I should say my team would have to grow before I can start working on those full time. But I can't give you a date on those.
Okay. And I guess, where do you see, have you seen any new types of games that you find interesting or provocative or, yeah?
I know that there was one, but I couldn't remember the name of it. It's a, it was an audio game. I can't remember what it was, but it was for the iPad, and it basically, it used the navigation device in your iPad, and the way you played the game was you put headphones on and you listened, and you essentially just turned when you heard something, and it was like you were exploring a dungeon, but you could only play through sound. I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay.
That's about the only thing.
Yeah. And what about Clash of Clans and some of these other really popular phenomenons from indie studios on mobile?
I've never heard of that game.
Okay.
I haven't been paying attention much to the mobile stuff, just because, number one, I'm doing my own thing right now. But the other thing is, I have my iPad stolen, so I just don't know what's around right now.
Okay. And what suggestions do you have then for other indie game developers out there looking to make their own card game or to get a project done?
Card game is a brutal, brutal, brutal industry, and I hope that's not the only thing they're working on.
Yeah.
I just really hope, because, you know, you've got to have 400 other things going on, because the chance of a card game ever making it is like a billion to one.
Well, I think maybe it's just it's hard to design it and also market it, right? I mean, just making it the perfect delivery is difficult for a lot of people.
Well, a card game comes out. Yeah, a card game comes out like every 2 days, you know. So it's like, it's. I mean, it's like, okay, what's different about your game that I haven't seen before, you know? To kind of give you an example, when I was making my game, I knew that I had to have something kind of over other card games. So it's like, okay, well, why should I even pay attention to your game? Yeah. And so I would tell people, I said, okay, well, you know, I would have to go down a list. I would say, okay, well, I've got, you know, a couple of really well-known artists. I've got, you know, the art itself is pretty amazing, I think. I've got some celebrities for voice acting. I got action figures. I got game mats. I got all this stuff that people never would have expected somebody with a budget of $0 to have. And then people started paying attention. They were like, oh, wow, look at this guy did this. You know, that's you have to kind of wow them. Because if you're stepping in the ring with Mike Tyson, you know, you can't be a featherweight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to have something to show for it. Otherwise, you're just going to get knocked out.
Okay. And where can listeners find out more information about your game and the service that you provide for other developers?
Everything can be found at StarCatGames.com or Facebook.com/StarCatGames.
Okay. And how do you spell StarCatGames.com?
It's StarCatGames.
Great. Thanks again for your time.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Cool. Catch you later. Take care. Bye.